This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1836. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 27th, Australia, Bangladesh, Bougainville, Brazil, China, Cuba, Egypt, Eritrea, France, Germany, Guatemala, Israel, Japan, Korea North, Myanmar, Oklahoma, Papua New Guinea, Russia, Solomon Islands, Taiwan, Turkey, Uganda, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. I was distressed to find Radio Australia 9580, July 27th at 1319, during the Daily Planet World Music Show, ruined by very distorted overmodulation, emulating Radio Havana, Cuba on numerous frequencies like 9710 at the same time. Australia still distorted past the newscast at 14 UT. The two other frequencies were okay, although always much weaker, 12065 and 12085. Ron Howard in California also noted the problem from 1230, as did Jerry Lineman in Texas as late as 1500, wondering if no one is paying attention at Shepparton until the next shift. Kai Ludwig reminds us that indeed the site is unmanned overnight in Australia. Ron Howard in California reports on Bangladesh Betar, the home service, on 4750. On July 24th, it was on the air only from 1252 until 1310 UT. Seems they have an erratic abbreviated schedule underneath the stronger CNR1 from China, which had a lot of singing, making Bangladesh reception difficult, but there was a tentative ID at 1305. Ron Howard also reports on 3325 NBC Bougainville. July 22nd was a major news day for Papua New Guinea. Some of the normal programs were preempted due to coverage of Parliament's vote of no confidence in Prime Minister O'Neill, which he survived. He was hearing this until it went off at 1230 UT. Then on July 25th, a very good day for PNG propagation, he listened for more than 3 hours randomly between 0904 until off about 1205. Part of the time it was parallel to another active Papua New Guinea station, 3260 NBC Madang. Part of time the Amazon service from Brazil on 11780 has been putting out spurs again around the 25-meter band. July 24th at 0606, not only were there first-order spurs about 101 kilohertz above and below, on 11881 and 11679, but also double that, 202 kHz from the fundamental, 11982, where I ran across it first, and 11578, the latter interfering with WRMI 11580. But by another check, July 26th at 0131, there were no spurs, this time from Brazil. As another Cuban holiday went by, July 26th, I realized that it had been 2 years since I last uttered my parody of the Cuban Kami motto, Patria o Muerte Venceremos. My version is, Patria o Suerte Pensaremos, which means fatherland or luck, we'll think about it. I have previously challenged someone in Cuba to scrawl this slogan on a wall or any public place and provide photographic evidence, so I renew that. And if that ever happens, my mission shall be fulfilled. Not only is Radio Cairo's so-called North American service in English unlistenable because of extremely distorted modulation or no modulation, that's from 02UT on 9315, but unpredictably this transmitter also may put out parasitic spurs somewhere around that frequency, more or less the same sound as on the fundamental. This landed about 9330, July 22nd at 0106, which would have been interfering with WBCQ before 0100 during Blaylock the Blaster. Fortunately, Cairo doesn't start until midnight 45, so it would not have bothered World of Radio before midnight UT. But you never know where those spurs will land next. NBCLnews.it, Luca Bottofiora in Italy reports some more spurs out of a different Cairo transmitter, 12085. We often hear its defective fundamental. It's on the air to North America all the way between 02 and 07 UT. I've not heard these spurs, but he reports on July 24th, around 0543, it was putting out spurs at multiples of 22 kilohertz between 11953 and 12150. Following up last week's report about the new clandestines for Eritrea on 15205, David Koenig of Interval Signals Online says Radio Al-Mukhtar was observed signing on in Arabic at 15 UT Tuesday, July 26th, switching to Tigrinya language at 15:30. This is on Tuesdays only. On Wednesday and Saturday during the same hour, we hear Radio Adal, good reception via the Twente remote receiver in the Netherlands. From Remy Fries in France, via Daniel Kehler in Germany, ADX via BCDX. This about Project SmartCast. TDF is testing this in DRM mode. The morning's around 09 UT on 6175. The target group of SmartCast are recreational sailors west of Brittany. Currently, this is only on shortwave. A medium-wave transmitter is being prepared also in western Brittany and will go on the air later. He thinks this ought to be on the X band above 1600 kHz, but is not sure what medium-wave frequency will be used. As for the programming on 6175 DRM, currently it's Radio France International, but it's not really part of SmartCast. It's a TDF project, so they could relay something else, such as France Inter. On July 25th, Harald DL1 ABJ Kuhl in Germany tells the British TX Club Group there's a DRM test from Berlin this week on 26040 from the Beuth Hochschule für Technik. It's for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 06 until 14 UT, 20 watts to a vertical antenna, no audio, just a transmitter test and ID you can read on a decoder display. Periodically, the Enid Eagle carries a story about an Oklahoma priest who was killed in Guatemala and whom the Catholics are trying to canonize. Here's the latest one, part of it, from July 27th, headline, St. Stanley. Canonization efforts gaining momentum for Reverend Stanley Rother. That's R-O-T-H-E-R. Catholics are making a pilgrimage to Santiago Atitlan to observe the 35th anniversary of Rother's assassination. A native farmer from Okarchi, Oklahoma, he served parishes in Tulsa, Duran, and Oklahoma City before going to Guatemala as a missionary for the impoverished indigenous Mayan and people called the Tzutukil. Three gunmen assumed to be a right-wing death squad assassinated him on July 28, 1981, in the parish rectory, but the killers have never been brought to justice. The Tzutzuhil kept the priest's heart in a half-gallon jar while his body was flown for burial in his native Oklahoma. When his vital organ was relocated to a more prominent location a decade after his martyrdom, the blood had not congealed, according to eyewitnesses of the excavation, reported in an Oklahoma Gazette cover story 10 years ago. And so the story goes. What these stories fail to remind us is that Rother was involved with, and perhaps head of, the 120-meter band station La Voz de Atitlan on 2390 kHz, which many of us remember hearing from that era. And now something current from Guatemala about the only shortwave station remaining not only there but anywhere in Central America. Radio Truth, Radio Verdad on 4055. Dr. Edgar Amilcar Madrid, the head of the station, has forwarded some correspondence he's had with Rubén Guillermo Martinez in Argentina, who sent them a reception report. And I translate pertinent parts of it for the next DX Listening Digest, number 16-30. He's referring to the still magical and unexplained worldwide broadcasts on shortwave he thinks they're getting without the use of relay shortwave transmitters, very near to the same frequency, 4055. We tried to find out about this earlier this year, but Dr. Madrid admits he does not understand the new technology. Well, here's what he says now. I want to inform you how things are going for us at Radio Truth. On May 9th, we stopped publishing new archives at Radio Truth TV because the motherboard was severely damaged. On May 15th, we stopped transmitting on Internet via Mixer, M-I-X-L-R, first because we lost the license. We returned to buy another one, but we have had serious difficulties with the computer that transmits it. On the same date, May 15th, we stopped broadcasting via Radio Truth Worldwide, by which we had been reaching almost the entire world with great power. This application was suspended because it depends on our Internet transmissions via Mixler. Now we are hoping that very soon we shall return to the air via Internet with Mixler and with Radio Truth Worldwide. Afterwards, we hope to publish new Radio Truth TV archives. These have been very difficult times due to our seriously low financial capability. He continues, Radio Verdad Mundial, or Radio Truth Worldwide, transmits via an application of Shortwave Alliance Euro-USA and is heard with great strength in almost the entire world. Shortwave Alliance Euro-USA is a new scientific experiment, which is giving good results. Lamentably, upon suspending our Internet broadcasts, this was also suspended automatically because they take our signal from Internet. For Radio Verdad Worldwide, I previously received excellent reports from USA, Japan, and Bolivia. Radio Verdad Transmundial is the name we have given to this new potent shortwave application. And now, my comments. If one searches Google on that exact name, Shortwave Alliance, Euro-USA, the only hits we get are previous references to it from Dr. Madrid as quoted by me and some other DX source. This reinforces my strong suspicion that it is all a scam. How can such an organization somehow using Internet to relay on shortwave have no presence whatsoever itself on the web? I assume the only reason Dr. Madrid cannot come to the same conclusion is that he is a man of faith. As far as I can tell, no scientific proof exists that the reception reports he got were true shortwave pickups and or not really direct from TGAV itself. Mixler, however, is a real thing, apparently legitimate. Via the GRA blog in Argentina, something attributed to Radio High, J-A-I, about Israel. I translate and summarize. Closure of the Israel Broadcasting Authority has been postponed until 2018. There had been plans to close it down and replace it with some other public broadcasting agency, but this has been postponed until the beginning of 2018. Apparently this has something to do with where it will be located. They want to keep it in Jerusalem rather than some other city in Israel. IBA, of course, was the source of the long-abolished shortwave broadcasts from Israel Radio. Voice of Korea is reported active again on another way-out-of-band frequency, we remember from years ago, 3560 kHz. At one time it was considered to be a feeder, but according to Hiroshi's blog, via Manu Ritala, WRTH, via bclnews.it. It is now carrying various external service languages most of the hours between 08:30 and midnight 20 UT, including English, if you want to try for it, at 13:30, 15:30, 18:30, and 21:30. Last week, Ron Howard reported the latest frequency change for Seabreeze Shokaze from Japan about North Korean abductions for the 13 to 14 UT broadcast. 5965, it's still heard in the clear in Korean on that date with a good signal, while the jamming remained on the abandoned frequency 5935, causing heavy interference for Tibet instead. And since that frequency changed, the other broadcasts also changed. Ivo Ivanov says it's 16 to 17 UT, again, including English, normally on Thursdays only, 5915 has replaced 6165. While the interim broadcast daily in Japanese at 1405 to 1435 has moved from 5935 to 7325, which would again be bad news for Papua New Guinea if One Talk Radio Lite were active. Apparently it is not. Via Internet, medium, high, very high, and super high radio frequencies, this is World of Radio, 1836. Consult our website for a lot more information dating back many years, worldofradio.com. That and this program are non-commercial, so we very much appreciate voluntary financial support. Received this week from Robert Gruska in Glendale, New York, who sent a postal money order in U.S. funds to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Ron Howard in California reports on Myanmar Radio 9730, July 27th from 10:54 until off at 11:31. He says, recently I've been checking on Monday from 10:30 to 11 and Wednesday 11 to sign off, which in the past were normal times I could catch the Radio Australia programs in English, English for business, but they are no longer here, just normal programs in vernacular. Have they dropped Radio Australia language lessons or changed the schedule? Also, Myanmar Radio on 5985, July 27th at 11:33, was covering a live sporting event, probably the Asian Football Confederation match between Brunei and Myanmar at that time. He says it must have been a TV audio feed, as there was very little coverage by the announcer, who mostly only commented during exciting happenings during the game. Ron Howard in California continues to monitor Russia's main shortwave station, Radio Sakha, in Yakutsk, which has two frequencies, 7295 and 7345, and he's always comparing them. The situation has changed over the last week. Here's what he reports. First, starting July 22nd at 0850, a decent open carrier on 7295 at 09, interval signal and time pips, news and later music. Very good by 10:15, but fair on 7345. What was strange was that by 10:50, it was just the reverse regarding what I heard at 10:15. 7345 was many times stronger than 7295. Could they have changed transmitters during that broadcast? Between 11 and 13, 7295 was mostly unusable, and 7345 covered by China. Then on July 25th, Ron says, it seems clear, at least to me, they've reversed their transmitter assignment. 7345 much stronger, 7295 much weaker, and mostly unusable. There are some days when Radio Sakha is slightly stronger than CNR1 on 7345 after 1100. Then July 26th, another day starting at 09 without any interval signal or time pips. 7345 continues to be several times stronger than parallel 7295, which was off the air for 8 minutes at 10:42 and still much weaker than 7345. Next observation on July 27th, both frequencies. Anomaly reception, both doing very well at 10:50 with ID and chimes leading into a series of ads. They continue to be both about equal strength. A first for me is normally only one or the other is much stronger. By the way, he says he received email from TV and radio NVK Sakha asking him more about his shortwave receptions of their station, and they wanted to interview him. Perhaps they think I speak Russian, he says, as I've corresponded with them in that language. I'm rather flattered they would make this offer. Another fluid situation on 9545, that at first unidentified frequency heard by Ron Howard on July 20th in Chinese. He and I both identified it the following day, July 21st, as Radio Taiwan International, and as yet no jamming by CNR1 from the mainland. Dan Sheedy in California also heard it July 21st. From 11:37, again at 12:47 past 13, July 22nd after 10 UT, and July 23rd after 12:53. He says, I got to hear RTI clear of CNR1 jamming for 2 days, but they showed up on July 23rd with their echo jamming, and that was that. On July 25th at 10:51 past 11 UT, he was only hearing the CNR1 jammer, no longer Taiwan on that frequency. Still gone on the next day, July 26th, and so was the jamming. So once again, the frequency was clear in case Solomon Islands should be using it past their usual sign-off as they have before, which is at 0500. July 27th, Ron reconfirms the frequency had no broadcasts. As for Solomon Islands, Wolfgang Visual confirmed they were active 1 hertz below 9545 when he checked via a remote receiver in Queensland July 26th at 0140. It's quite unclear what's really going on in Turkey, but Wolfgang Büschel forwards an item from yaisu817.com. The Earl says, Turkey government has revoked 19,201 ham radio licenses. However, the body of the story reduces that number to only 3,213 national ham radio licenses. It says HF radio in Turkey is now silent. No transmissions are allowed. However, there are comments appended to this article from some Turkish hams who deny that there is any truth to that report. So is there or is there not? Could be they are merely siding with President Erdogan. A seemingly more credible report appeared in the German publication Radio Woche via Manfred Reif. After the failure of the military coup in Turkey, the Turkish Radio and TV Supreme Council withdrew licenses of 24 radio and TV stations. And then it lists the radio stations which lost their licenses, but not the TV stations. The withdrawal of the licenses was justified by their links to Mr. Gulen's movement, accused of being behind the coup attempt, described as a terrorist organization. WWRB in Tennessee continues to broadcast that clandestine for Uganda radio Manansi, just below 15240 kHz between 17 and 19 UT on Saturdays and Sundays only. However, on July 23rd and 24th, and they were also on the air as early as 1620 with African music, there were intermittent carrier dropouts. That is, the transmitter kept cutting off the air and back on, seriously degrading listening. And Wolfgang Büschel in Germany and Bill Bingham in South Africa reconfirmed that they could not hear it at all on 15240. Last week I reported on Dark Night, U.S. Army training net on 12072, but it was not heard the following days at the same time and frequency. But now I've heard something else of interest in the way of U.S. government or military communications. UT Wednesday, July 27th at midnight 11, I ran across this on 5896.50 USB. It was a net sort of like Mars, but not really. There were stations using call signs NCS 307, 104, and 308 in contact with each other, and then going into a digital racket. I did some research and found this is called SHARES, S-H-A-R-E-S, which is the first three letters of the two words shared resources. It's part of the Department of Homeland Security, the National Coordinating Center for Communications. According to their website, an additional means for users with a national security and emergency preparedness mission to communicate when landline and cellular comms are unavailable. SHARES members use existing HF radio resources to coordinate and transmit messages needed to perform critical functions, including areas related to leadership, safety, maintenance of law and order, finance, and public health. And that could explain why WWCR does not come up on nearby 5890 until much later, 0200 UT. KLDE, El Dorado, Texas, 25910, we report frequently being heard at least by Harold Froge in Michigan with that FM relay, which is thought to be from Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now, Jerry Linneman in Waco confirms that, according to the KLDE operator, the FM transmitter on 25910 is on a 700-foot tower in the Cedar Hill area of Dallas-Fort Worth, 40 watts of power into a dipole. The program audio is fed from an off-air receiver in San Angelo via an internet studio transmitter link to an office in Irving. From Irving, it is fed to Cedar Hill via microwave. I reply, Cedar Hill was long suspected since 25910 was previously carrying KSCS or WBAP from the Metroplex. Cedar Hill is the major TV-FM antenna farm on the southeast side of Dallas. Now the question remains, why are they going to the trouble of doing this? Is it a pet project of some absentee owner of KLDE? Do they hope to get an audience this way among the public in the Metroplex? Or could it be a propagation study? Andy Robinson, Michigan, replies, these are interruptible feedback IFB channels used by some TV stations to cue reporters and others in the field. Why these frequencies are still used for this purpose is a mystery. Technological inertia, perhaps. FCC rules prohibit the use of IFB channels to broadcast to the general public. Jerry Linneman replies, I can't think of a business reason unless it's a case of use it or lose it. I believe the owner is in the broadcast service business, contracting with stations to provide services such as IFB for airborne traffic reporting. I doubt that KLDE in San Angelo needs to cue a traffic copter, so perhaps since the equipment was available, it's being continued for non-business reasons. We discovered last week that one of our World of Radio airings on WRMI has been replaced by something else. That is Friday at 21:30 on 15770. However, we continue at the same time and frequency on Tuesdays, and that's the only WRMI World of Radio broadcast aimed at Europe. And we're still on at the same time on Fridays, 21:30 on 13695 across North America. Some of my WBCQ monitoring. I've been able to pick up, barely, the new 90-meter band frequency on Friday and Saturday evenings early, that is UT Saturdays and Sundays. I once measured it on 3251.323 and the following night on 3251.34 in the AM mode. These were both between 01 and 02 UT. Exactly 1 week after I ran across an unscheduled airing of Church of the Subgenius Hour of Slack, just below 7490, there it was again, UT Tuesday, July 26th at 0102, but only until 0115. And another surprise, UT Wednesday at midnight 1 on 7489.97, the Dead Frog Radio Show, the one supposedly originating from someone in prison. Larry Wells soon confirmed that that was a time change from the previous scheduling, which was UT Sunday at 0400. Larry Will says, check out this show if you can. He plays very edgy music like Tenacious D and has some very creative skits and fake news. Definitely adult entertainment, not for the faint of heart. After missing a couple of weeks, the number two transmitter of WTWW I finally heard back on the air, July 27th at 0543 on 5085. But it was not carrying Midnight Sick in the Desert, but instead playing some rock music. Also, the day frequency 9930 was back at 1801 UT with a 6-minute Sea Crane commercial. And then the Dave Ramsey show started at 1807, but a few minutes later it was dead air, and a few minutes after that, off the air once again. The 1380 station in the Houston, Texas market, KRCM, has changed its branding from Radio Aleluya to Vida 1380, Vida meaning life in Spanish, and they say they'll be formally inaugurating it Saturday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Central Time. I wonder if they will finally start obeying the law of man and turn their night power down from 22,000 to 43 watts as authorized. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to reach active to minor storm levels July 29th, August 3rd, 5th, and 8th, with A and K indices peaking at 20 and 5. Solar flux only 70 until August 4th, then rising to a peak of 105 from August 7th through 16th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1836.